Like, I'd rather somebody just get a gun and shoot me and feel that pain than to get my heart broke. Feel that, because a heartbreak, you can't do anything to patch it. You could get some medicine for that gun wound. It could wound up. Heartbreak is one thing. So yeah, a lot of people, that's probably like, how did you, they experience a heartbreak? Look, Jesus, and just mentally staying strong, mentally picking yourself up, looking in the mirror and mentally saying, you're better than this. You got this. You can do this. Today it might be hard, but God's got you. God, Jesus, I'm going to go Jesus way, because God is such a, people that are Buddha. I'm not talking about Buddha God. I'm talking about Jesus, okay?
Mm-hmm. Grown to be a woman who clearly has a deep relationship with God. Do you feel like your family played a big role in you getting there? Like, do you feel like, and if so, like, how did that happen? Like, how did you get to this point of, like, being someone who, like, has such a deep relationship with God? Did it happen kind of, like, outside of family? Did family kind of, like, help curate it?
My mom was a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
So I grew up in the church. My mom, every Sunday, she went, she teach, and she was like, she didn't force us to go. That was the thing. She gave it to us as an option. Y'all want to come with me? You can come. If you don't, you don't. Because she grew up Catholic for a minute in her life, but it was forced on her. So the Christianity part on my mother came from her kind of growing up, and it was introduced to her from a family member. And she's like, oh, okay, all right. And then when she started to know God for herself, she's like, all right, that's it. And she was a Sunday school teacher. We would go to church, but she wouldn't make us go. She wouldn't force us to go. I remember she said, out of all her kids, I went to church on Sunday. And, you know, at the end, they always be like, anybody want to come for special prayer? Come on up. You know how they do that?
Yeah.
So my mom tells a story all the time. I think she says I was anywhere probably like 7, 8. I was young. 8, 9. I was under 10. And I'm like chugging on my mom as she's like, quiet. You know, I have the head down. Be quiet. He's like looking for people to come up to pray. We're getting ready to pray. I'm like, mom, I want to go up. I'm 7, 8. I don't know, between 7 and 10. I don't remember my mom. She's like, stop. She's literally like, stop. Listen to the man. Be quiet. The lady behind her says, I'll take her if she wants to go. So I'm like, all right. The lady takes me up. It's like me and like 3 or 4 other adults, right? Pastor comes up to me. He's like, what is your name? And how old are you? Yeah. I'm Morgan, 7 years old. Okay. And what brings you up here? I said, I want to follow Jesus. 7, 8, 9, 1 of them.
And do you remember this, or is this like
when my mom told me, when she reminded me of the story, I remember being a little girl tugging on my mom. I remember being a little girl, and maybe that was the spirit that I felt being led from the first time I said I wanted to accept Jesus. I definitely remember it. I remember it.
And do you feel like since that point you've always just been kind of like tapped in with Jesus, or you feel like
I've since that point, even though I was little, I feel like I was tapped in. I know a big gap of my life. I even though I accepted Jesus at that point, being young, I didn't read the Bible. I didn't really go to church for a long period of time, being middle school up to high school, and then once I kind of got like an age where I'm like, okay, God really starts showing himself, calling me, tugging on me. When I kind of got to that, oh, okay, I took off from there on my own.
And what did that look like?
I was really in it. I was studying him. I was like, just me and God, everything. My sister seen that. But what they also seen during that time was God working on me. They seen behavior that I was like, oh, I'll never do that. The discipline that it took, the faith that it took, the time of me being alone with God. It was really a space in my life. And this, I'm gonna get to like where we at now.
No, but
it was really a time where they watched, even though they was like, oh yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah, she's following God, now she's broke. How's that happen?
Yeah.
she decided to stop going to the club and getting money this way and stop doing promo and stop doing that. And now she's following God, but she's like going backwards. That's what it looked like for a long time. Cause when you say God's yes to God, he's like, well, show me. He would literally strip you. My sister seen me get stripped. My family just stripped me. I'm talking about having a home and selling my Rolex chain just to make the mortgage. Strip me. Like not having no resources. Now, God's like, you trust me or you don't. Yeah, I could have made a phone call. I could have did plenty of things to get the money, but then I wasn't going to be trusting God. God's like, show me that you can give up what I've given you.
Yeah.
to keep what I've given. Show me that it's not about materialistic things. Show me that it's not about this, this, and that. You can sell that chain. Yeah, you had it for 10 years, and it's very significant to you. It means something to you, but I'm God, so you want to follow me, right? Sell it. Pay your mortgage. They see me go through certain things, and now they see the reward. Look at the fruit. Look at the home. Look at the blessings. Look at the car. Look at where everything came from. So one sister went through it. Now I got a sister that's in almost the same position that I was in. I got a sister now that's totally Jesus. Got a mortgage, need to get paid. Don't know how she's going to pay it. But I remember she remembered what I went through. I remember she knew what it took. Now I can call her and say, hey, you probably going in circles. God probably ain't coming fast enough because he had me cut this, this, and this now. And I see you still doing that. I'm not saying that's what it is, but I'm just saying maybe. So right now for us, we got a group chat, the family. Dad sometimes puts in the morning inspirational words of wisdom. Mom always is throwing in the TD Jakes, whatever she hears sermons. Mom, sister, and another sister might tap in on Bible study on the line. Just tap in on the line. Just walking around, mom's cooking. I'm upstairs doing something. The other sister, we're all on the line. One sister like, there's no Jesus right now. I'm such a place that I don't even hear y'all, I don't even care what y'all got going. I'm trying to do it on my own. One sister like that. Yeah. But we still send messages. We still pray. We still whatever. And they come around. I'm not saying they don't believe in it, but sometimes you get in that mode with like, I don't want the Jesus. You just kind of get in that mode sometimes.
Yeah.
And it'd be like that. But as a family, as a whole, we're all tapped in. And sometimes some will go through one to help the other. Mom's is a prophet already off top, so she's got like rank. Mom's is like, you know, y'all my kids, I got y'all. But she lets us have our relationship with Jesus. She's not the type of, like, a lot of people like to tell you because they think they already got my relationship with God. You're supposed to do it like this. Oh, you're gonna find out, you're gonna have your own relationship. You're gonna be hot one time, then it's gonna be cold next. She went through it. And mom's is the overhead. She's like, all right, but as long as she knows that we either reading that devotion or turning on some word or reading that Bible or something, mom's is like, make fine. She know we covered. She know we good.
Yeah.
Sometimes she like, this one need a little more, so she'll push more into that one. You know, sometimes she will set something out for me to do knowing that they're watching me. And maybe they'll get it. Because sometimes we don't like listen to the parents even though we know they're right. But hearing it from somebody else is like, oh, mom's like,
I've been telling you.
Yeah. So that's kind of like where we are as a family. We definitely keep locked in.
So first off, shout out to moms, right? Because she really sounds like the OG who's really been holding it down from the
job. Moms is secret sauce.
and then it also sounds like you really like are the one, if anybody, like who the message really stuck with, and you really led by example for a little bit.
Yeah.
And you really kind of were like just walking in it like. It sounds like no matter how life was going, rain or shine, you kind of still were sticking with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because you were even saying, yo, like my sisters are looking at me like, yo, God don't seem to be working for you right now. Like, mm-hmm. and that's real because I think like
especially my dad.
Oh, see, really?
My dad he's hustler.
Yeah.
I'm a man, I make it happen. So taking that from someone saying, because God says, I'm the man, I make it happen. So if you have a mentality saying, no, I make it happen. Hey, somebody's got to give that up. So saying that my dad raised me to be the hustler, the go-getter. I mean, it's so crazy that growing up, my dad was always out the house before we went to school. So like sun up 5-6 in the morning. He always came home at dinner. We never seen dad during the day.
Yeah.
But if we sitting on the couch watching TV and dad pulls up, you better get up and start sweeping. You better get up and do something. He don't like lazy.
Okay.
He's like, say, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, that's that. So he seen me at 3 p.m. in my pajamas in bed with sticky notes and devotion and Bible and books and books and books of Jesus, this, this, and that, and popcorn. And I'm studying. Like, I'm literally in God's world right now. I don't care what's going on outside. I don't care to get dressed. I'm on a mission right now. I need to know this man. What he's giving me is enough. I don't care what you got going there. I know you raised me this way. I appreciate it. If God gave you the strength to get up every day and go out there and get it, he's not just going to give it to you more. He's giving you the strength. He had his view on how he felt was going to work.
Okay.
And I just had to keep on knowing, just keep the faith thinking, all right, I feel you. All my life I ran up under you. So now dad is like, this is God. He believes in God, yeah, but everybody's got it's different relationships, you know what I'm saying? So when I said, Pops even looked at me the most like, you went from that, this is not working. Like, this is not you. What are you doing? You know, because he strips you, like having a kid and being spoiling a kid and then stripping them from everything. It's like, what? You know, you kind of have that, what did I do?
Yeah.
But it's something that he wants to make sure before you get all this that you're ready. So you got to be stripped.
Yeah, that's crazy. So it sounded like you really had that like super nerd God phase though. Like it sounded like you was really locked in, what? Locked in.
Like they were saying I was taking it too far locked in.
It sounded like you, you was kind of like you was really locked in for real.
But look.
Yeah. So, okay. So then why were you so locked in back then? Like what exactly?
I was tired of life. I was tired. I knew in my spirit, I knew in my mind, knew in my body that it was more for me than whatever was going on in the world. This one little house in Compton, my little dirt bikes and my little Instagram, whatever. I'm like, I know it's more. I should be a millionaire. My brain, my mind, I'm like, God's got more for me. And it wasn't just materialistic. I mean, career. I mean, doing things that fill me up, makes me happy. There's people out there that makes money doing things that don't make them happy at all. That they literally are making money, but they have freedom from it, but they're not happy. It's nothing that fills their spirit, nothing making them happy. I knew it was like, I'm like, God, look, I've been doing things my way up until this whole time, 20-something years. I'm tired of it because I always hit a plateau. I always kind of like, I'd be like, I'm getting somewhere, and then it just kind of like just fade out. Like, I don't go higher. I don't, no matter what I was doing, I just couldn't elevate when I knew it was more for me.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, so only other one thing. Mom can't help, dad can't help, money can't even help at this point. I got money. It's still something missing. It's still something not right. Still something more for me. And then I'm like, you know what? This guy that people are talking about, moms, he's already proven this, that to me. Let me see if, like, let me just give this a shot for real. And I knew I couldn't play because I've tried it with God and myself. That's playing. You're going to let him do it or you're going to do it. So I've tried it. Word, little word, doing my way and taking control here. I know he don't want me to do that, but I'm still making money here. Yeah, God likes me for to do this. I'm going to help. But still, I was playing. When I had to go straight and nerd it out, couldn't play no more. And that means all God.
And there was something about that clearly that you really felt like was helping as you were doing it. Like, as you were kind of like really reading, because you were saying it was 3 p.m., you in the Bible, you in the word locked in with the sticky notes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So clearly you felt as if, man, you're getting something out of that.
Yeah. You know how people be like, well, how do you even know it's a real God? Or there's people that say they believe in God, but they think Drake's a God. Mm-hmm. Literally. People say they believe in God, but there's a Buddha. There's a, hey, the one I was talking to was Jesus. The one that I was reading about and studying was Jesus. And you said something obviously was working. I felt like he revealed himself to me. Mm. What does that mean? Well, when you at your lowest and you at the bottom, and there's no mama, no daddy, no cousins, no nobody, nothing can save you or your situation. And you just tell one person what's going on. No one else in the world really knows. And you tell one person, which is Jesus. And things start to change out of your power and your mom and daddy power. He revealed himself to me also. You heard me because nothing's making sense on how this happened. And I only told you, Jesus. So even during the time he was stripping me, he revealed himself to me. I am real. I heard you because look what happened here. Remember you said you didn't have this? Yeah, well, look, all of a sudden it just popped up at your door. Remember you was telling me and you said no one knows about it? Well, guess what? You got that phone call, right? That's when he revealed himself to me. So I was being stripped, but I also knew that he was listening, and I also knew that he was helping. And I also know that I was growing even though it was hurting. You grow when you hurt. When it's uncomfortable, you grow. Flowers, plants, soil, whatever, you uncomfortable, you grow. When you comfortable, he had to make me uncomfortable in order for me to grow. And that was stripping me. Yeah. Stripping me from my money, stripping me from things that I had the power to do and give and do on my own. So once I was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, but you love me though, right, God? So you're not going to leave me hanging. He's really, this is a test. It's really a test. Well, who walked around for 40 years when it only supposed to take like 8 days? It was the attitude of it. It was the, do you really trust me? Because, yeah, I could sit there and be like, hey, here you go. You pray for this. But then you're going to forget about me tomorrow. So let me see, even at your lowest and with nobody around, you still love me, still going to call on me. He had to really, like, I had to go there. Like,
that's what's up. And hearing this, mm-hmm. I like what I'm hearing, because I think it highlights a couple of things. Like, one, it's important that, like, you, like, within family, when you're close, mm-hmm. the biggest thing, and I truly believe this, I think the biggest thing that's, like, that will resonate with your family members is just leading by example. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you genuinely took on a relationship with God, and your family's close, so everybody was watching. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yep. And when everybody was watching, they took notes of when things looked like they were working and when things didn't look like they're working. Mm-hmm. And it looks like, of course, like as time goes on, they've looked at the overall lifespan of Morgan, when she was tapped into God and when she wasn't, and they've made their assessment on things, and it sounds like your leadership is clearly like resonating with the family now,
right?
And that's what's up. And it's funny, because it's like even what your dad was saying, like with you, kind of, it's like, I mean, he I don't even know if he was off like that, because he did have a point in just saying, yo, like there's work to it. But it sounded like you knew at that point in your life, look, I got to take a crash course. Oh, Jesus.
What my dad was kind of saying was like, yeah, pray, but still do your part.
Yeah.
And God told me my part was just to be with him.
At that point in time.
Yeah. So I get what he was saying, but God already then told me nothing. I don't want you doing anything.
Yeah.
Just talk to me, spend time with me, be alone with me, read about me, listen to me, do things that go help. I was feeding the homeless, I was in shelters, putting this on Instagram. I'm just, people need help out there in this world. I was praying for people. Like, I was really serving in shelters and stuff like that. All my sisters is out partying. It was just the time that I was just in that place. It was just for a little period of time. But the payoff anytime you roll with Jesus, anytime. It could be for a whole year. It could be for 2 months. It could be 2 days. You roll with him. They was like, I got way more for you than you think. For sure.
And I resonate with that. And I like how you talk about just like the fact that you can see the difference. And from what I'm getting, it also sounds like it not only was like a difference externally, like my life was just, I was just in a bad place, like just with my career. So it sounds like you also just like internally really like felt at kind of like at peace and felt like you were where you belonged when you were connected and when you were aligned with God. Like
I had purpose.
Yeah.
So I felt like up until that point, I was doing what I wanted to do. I was doing things that made me happy, that felt good to me. But there was no purpose in life for me. I was just living. And then once I got into that God mode, he created me. He made me. So it was a purpose before I even got here. So I had to go back to the person, not mom, not dad. Mom and dad can't tell me. I can't tell my son what his purpose is. I made him. But God already had a plan and a purpose and everything for him. So the only way to get that is to tap back in. So I was at a point where I'm like, all right, cool. Yes, all right. This was after the TV show. I was on TV. I was on top of the world. I was making money. A girl from Compton. This was after the TV show. I just was like, something ain't right. I'm tired of being tired. And I know that I'm not supposed to be struggling. God doesn't want his people to struggle. God doesn't want you to lack. God doesn't want you to be without. At all. He doesn't want that for any of his children. So I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Well, you're doing it your way. That's what was wrong. You're doing it your way. Yep, you got far. God allowed this to happen. He allowed this blessing to come. He allowed this. But at the end of the day, that still ain't what I have for you. You got to come to me to get that.
I like that. I think it also just highlights how, like, even when you were going through rough times, you knew they were like aligned, right? Rough times when you were with God, because it sounds like you had that inner peace of knowing, mm-hmm. I'm still where I need to be. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing what I got to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what's up. So I feel it. So then, right now you're in a place where you're not. So not only have you led within your family that you were born into, you're now get in a position where you've just started a family of your own.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. You know what I mean? Thank you.
So you just had a son.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, like, we just heard the story of your mom and how mm-hmm. she, like, took you to church. now that you're in more of a leadership position within ushering a new generation.
I got you.
How are you feeling about everything? Like,
seeing how my mom laid out that blueprint.
Yeah.
She's given me a good idea of how I need to run my household. I love that she didn't force it on me. I love that she didn't make us go, but we were drawn to it. She just set the example and the tone in the house. So even now, my son's not even one, but when I go to bed, there's TD Jakes. He's hearing the word. My son literally only can say mama, dada, certain words, but he can say praise the Lord. It's what you put into your kids. So yeah. I'm just constantly reminding him, this is Jesus. I'm praying over him. When things go wrong, kid, he can't even talk. He's just, as long as I just download that, he's going to be fine. Remember I had that big nerdy Jesus go all out?
Yeah.
All right. I got promoted by Jesus.
Okay.
Meaning, all right, you show me. All right, like it's, you did good. You know, it's been a long time. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sell your house. We're going to get you a new one. When I sold my house, I had no idea where I was going to go. I just off faith. Boom, got a real big, nice mansion, not mini mansion, nice house. Okay, cool. I started like, all right, when you get promotion, you like to party.
Yeah.
And what I mean is that I got comfortable of like, I wasn't in that training session no more or whatever. So I kind of didn't need to tap in as much every day, all the time. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't stripped. I didn't need him as much anymore because he gave me a promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
Meaning as far as I needed him when I was in that dark spot. I needed to know the next step. I needed to know what was coming next. I needed to know, I needed to make sure I was good to pass the test and make sure. And now I was, oh, okay, boom. I feel like I was on a honeymoon stage, meaning, oh my gosh, honeymoon. You get what
all,
I mean?
Like all you felt like you had everything you wanted out of life.
Right, I had everything.
And it was kind of like, and then we've all been there, right? You get to a point where it's like, yo, like, I'm feeling so good. And you can sometimes almost forget, like, yo, dang, like,
yeah,
God got me here. And you can almost just be like, all right, God, I'm going to put you on the shelf for now. Life's lit. You know what I mean?
Pretty much. I kind of just forgot. You know what I'm saying? Felt good. Yeah. Life was good. I forgot. Not even forget. You can't forget. Yeah, but it's one of those, like, you don't make it that priority no more, you know, kind of in a sense. And then it just really got bad when I got, like, into a relationship. Because I think when in my relationship, I was on honeymoon. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, so I mean, that's not a bad thing, though.
I didn't have a dude for 5 years. Now I'm back with a guy. So now it's like Jesus was kind of like my dude. You know what I'm saying? For the last 5 years, who I talk to, who I vent to, who I spend my time with, literally. I mean, you know.
So this dude replaced Jesus, Loki.
Kind of let him. That was all my bad, though. I mean, that was my bad. I shouldn't have did that. You know what I'm saying? So just not consciously, though. Like, well,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like, I wasn't aware of what was happening. It was just like, oh, I'm talking to God less, but I'm in his face all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes we can put things above God. Do you feel like you may have put the relationship above
God? I do feel like I did.
Okay.
I don't even feel like I know I did.
Mm.
I know I did. There's lots of stories I can say from the past, from being younger, from being whatever, to feeling a certain way or putting something before him and him showing me like, I will take it. I loved basketball. I played since I was 6 years old. Everything's basketball. I trained. Like, the type of dad I have, we're not average. You can't be average. You got that last name Westbrook's out there. You got to be the best one on the court. This is my father's mentality. Word. It wasn't sports. Sports wasn't just sports. It was like, you better go out there and you better make it. That was the type of dad I had.
Okay.
So I took basketball serious. I mean, studied it. Everything's basketball. At the age of 14, 15, I went to Jordan camp in high school.
Awesome.
Went to Jordan camp. Everything, though, up until this point has been Michael Jordan. I mean, like, room idolized Michael Jordan.
Okay.
You heard what I said, though. Idolized.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I went to camp. It's a five-day camp. I think on, like, the third day, they let you meet Jordan, get something signed or something like that. I met him. I remember my dad having the camera out. I'm a kid. I'm 14, 15, whatever. Having the camera out. And I had won the game, whatever. I'm like, man, I just met Michael Jordan, man. I could die now. Like, I don't even care. Like, I met Michael Jordan. I remember saying something like, that was the greatest thing ever. The next day, I tore my ACL. Mm. I idolized Michael Jordan. idolize. God doesn't like idols. You know what I'm saying? I really feel like even at that time, that was just a check. I didn't die, but I had to sit down for 6 months from an ACL surgery. I'm just saying that when you are someone God truly, really loves and cares about and has that relationship with, and he's like, I got a plan for you and this and that, you can look back at your life and be like, dang, I remember that. I got into a car crash, but I didn't die. He was just checking you, made you sit down, made you realize, probably brought y'all back closer because you was probably really wilding out. You probably idolized or was putting something before him for too long to where he had to sit you down. When I say my room was Jordan everywhere, I mean, like, I was a kid. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I'd had a relationship with God. So I didn't know about the idolizing or putting anything above him. But best believe when I was 6 months with that torn ACL, Jesus, am I ever going to get back on that court? I had to start talking to him. I had to get closer to him with nothing else for me to do. See how he got my attention?
Yeah. I just love how resilient you are as a woman. You know what I mean? Just like your ability to just like continue to push in from a young age. You were 8 years old saying, you know what, look, it's my time.
Right. Whatever it was. Yeah.
And then kind of going on with life. It sounds like, when things got rough, you still pushing to God, and now like you just kind of consistently like said, "This is what I'm on. This is what I'm doing," and something kind of just continued to call you in that direction, which is great. So like, with that being said, you are though like building a family right now, and I feel like this experience that you're going through may allow for like some lessons for other people to kind of glean from. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you think, as far as like faith and family and just figuring all that out goes, like what are some things that you think that like people could learn from your experiences so that like others may not have to experience as much to get the same lessons? You know what I mean?
Right. Honestly, the more issues I was having in my relationship only just reminded me what was missing in it. Mm. And that was God. Why does he keep doing this? Why am I frustrated? Because when I had God, couldn't get me frustrated. It was a sense, you have a spirit of peace when you have God in your life like that. Literally, like the world could be really on fire and you could just be that one person walking through. When you have God, it's the spirit of peace that he literally puts in you. Like you don't trip, you don't this. So when I started to realize, whoa, you weren't like this before. And they said, whoa, you never reacted. Whoa, look at your heart. Now I had to start looking at my heart. It was getting a little meaner and a little, well, when you have God, it's a balance. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have the balance. So I had to start looking at like what was missing. Like I said, I realized, okay, God's not in it like that. At the time, the guy I was with, he actually would read the devotional in the morning and he'll say a quick prayer. And I wasn't even doing it.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And at the time, I don't know why. Nothing was drawing me to the wanting to do it, or I seen him doing it for a little bit and I just didn't have that connect. I don't know what it was. I really still even thinking about it. It's like, why didn't I at that time? He was doing it, but I wasn't doing it. I don't know if I was just so mentally just all over the place because of the relationship and what I was going through that I was just like, I don't want to even hear it or see it. But it got to the point to where I'm like, all right, now it's too much. Now I can't even help myself. Mm. And last time I remembered that was when I got all geeked out and said, all right, God, you can have it because I've been trying to do it my way. So when I couldn't even help myself, I said, all right, you know what? I know what the problem is. But even for me to even get right with God, he can't be around because he's bringing too much of what I'm not supposed to be and too much issue, too much problem. He ain't even right. So I can't get right around someone that ain't right. We both ain't right. So I need a little separation. So I needed a little separation. And during this time and even in this time, I don't know what he got going on, what he doing. But for me, it's definitely helped me get back to, okay, God, hey, now I got to evaluate myself. Okay, where do we go wrong at? What is this? What is that? But overall, I want to say that because I tapped back in with God first, everything started to trickle down in order.
No, and I love what you're saying, though. And while you're talking, it just makes me realize, like, man, I really love what you're saying because it's highlighting the fact that, like, you know, like you see people like say like their what they, like their hierarchy of what they prioritize. Like you'll see like football players be like, it's God, family, football. Or like whatever your like career is, God, family, career, right? And I think that I honestly think that's a great like hierarchy to approach life with. And it sounds like when that gets out of order, life can get out of order. And essentially what you're saying is, you know what? I realized, you know what, I may have put family, I may have put relationship over God. And when I did that, things got a little off track. But now, you know what, I just rearranged things and think it just got right back on order.
It's falling back into place, but you gotta have people are like, they look at God as a genie. So when I talk about him, I really try to tap into the, like the key things that people, I pray all the time and nothing helps, nothing works. But his key thing is when you pray, do you believe it? Or do you pray and go and do it on your own and thinking like, God's going to do his part and you're going to do yours? When you pray, or do, my whole thing is like, look, pray about it, believe it. But you also got, you do got to put in some work. And the work is you have to stay disciplined. You have to stay consistent. You have to, there's still things that you have to have mentally, not money, not mentally up here for things to start to align. Because mentally, you got to have God first. Mentally, you got to prioritize God. It's all in your mental. It's all in your brain. You're all up here mentally. So I stress that mental health, that all of that. But still, people are like, I struggle with mental health. Look, man, there's some secret sauce out there called Jesus. You just add him in with whatever you got going with life and you believe in, you have faith in it, you're going to be okay. When me and my baby daddy broke up, things got real bad, I literally looked in the mirror like, what happened? Because the way things ended really didn't make any sense. I mean, it's excuse after this, or this just didn't, wait, what? It just don't make no sense for two people to have the history and the love that we had. Just didn't make any sense. And sometimes that's how God works. Things don't make sense. So the way that things ended let me know that God was in control, because I know that God knew my heart and he knew that I would never leave this man. It wasn't nothing that he could do. God knew how much I loved him and he knew my loyalty. He knew I wasn't going to leave. So he had to make it to a point to where it didn't make no sense. Like, why is this dude not coming back home? He just wanted to do what he wanted to do. A lot of people on internet are like, this nigga's stupid. He's crazy. Why is he? Hey, God is working. I don't even know. He don't even know why he ain't coming back at this point. I mean, literally, when you think about it, it's excuses, but it's like, that don't make no sense. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So got to that point, getting there, seeing all of that. I'm like, okay. So if God was in the works, this is what he needed to happen at this time. And if this is what he needed to happen at this time, it don't feel good. God, I thought you loved me. Why would you even let this happen? You see how I'm crying every night. I don't feel good. My heart is broken and hurt. I mean, I've always the type to be like, I'd rather somebody just get a gun and shoot me and feel that pain than to get my heart broke. I feel that, because a heartbreak, you can't do anything to patch it. You could get some medicine for that gun wound. It could wound up. Heartbreak is one thing. So yeah, a lot of people, that's probably like, how did you, they experience a heartbreak? Look, Jesus, and just mentally staying strong, mentally picking yourself up, looking in the mirror and mentally saying, you're better than this. You got this. You can do this. Today it might be hard, but God's got you. I would be like, literally, I wake up and be like, God, I can't do it today. I'm nothing without you. I need you today. I need you every day. Give me the patience to raise my son and give me the energy and strength to keep things going. Literally, the things I was looking for in my relationship for my dude to do, God did it for me. I just prayed and asked him, I need this type of help. I need you to watch him. I need to do this, da, da, da. And then all of a sudden, this person's called, I can watch him, da, da, da. And all of a sudden, oh, this opened up. And now I'm like, oh, okay. So things that I felt like I needed from a man, God just was like, I got you. Look, you, all you really do is need me. So I got to see, oh, all right, boom. I don't have to run back to the dude. I don't have to this, this, and that. But really, here, mentally, yo, my mental state, women out there, he hurt me. Why did he do this to me? I need revenge. I want to get back. He cheated. He left. It ain't about him. It's not about him. Whatever he did, it's not about him. It's about you. So that heartbreak is meant for the better. That heartbreak was meant for you to grow, for you to be able to get closer to God, for you to be able, because as long as you still with him, ain't nothing going to change. You still going to go in circles as long as, you know.
And you know what I love about this, though? I think what a lot of people can take from it is, like, I think you can't game God, right? Like, there's been times in my life where, like, I know for a fact I was heavy into God for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like I see, I'll speak for myself, but there's been times where, like, I know, like, you know what? I really want to be this millionaire. I really want to be this extremely successful man. I'm going to connect with God for that. And mm-hmm. if I'm being honest with myself, I know that I was putting those things above God. And if I got those things, I probably wouldn't be as focused into God as mm-hmm. I was at that time. And I think that what this shows us is, yo, if you get what you think that you want without God, then it's not going to be a blessing like you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that, I'm just like, I'm encouraged to really focus on God because he's God. You know what I mean? We focus on God because he's God, and understand that what he has for us, being God, is all we need and is our best, like, option.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think, like, that perspective is really, like, all you're saying right now. You just, yo, like, if you're in God, and not saying that you were doing this, but if you're with God because you want to get into a marriage, make sure that you're not prioritizing the marriage over God.
Right.
If you're with God because, oh, like, I just want a husband, or I just want a wife, I just want to be in a relationship, you may get that and miss God. And if you get that and miss God, then you didn't even get anything that benefited you.
Right.
And it's like, God will check us and sometimes let you get what you thought you mm-hmm. were so thirsty for. Not, mm-hmm. not you.
No, for real. But, yeah. Give you so thirsty for, you got to have it.
Yeah,
now
and then it's like, you know, what did that do for you? All right, so now that you kind of, like, out there, just yep. come on right back.
Yep.
Understand that, look, I got you. You know what I mean? And, yep. and he'll get us right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like I said it, they think God is a genie. I'm going to pray, I'm going to do this so I can get this in return. God's like, that's not how it works. I just want to have a relationship with you. All the other stuff will be given to you. I want you to have more. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. That's what you're asking me, but I'm not going to give it to you. Like, knowing that somebody is a millionaire and you only around for their money. That's kind of like how God's probably feeling. Like, you only around because you want this, but the person is like, I want you to be around for me.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
And to be, just to kind of play devil's advocate, it is not the easiest thing to do.
Oh,
like,
no, it's not.
And I think, like, with life, you gain more, your faith increases as you kind of, like, you kind of grow with your relationship with God, and you see some things. You know,
God
what I mean?
Knows that it's not easy. He knows how bad the world is. He knows it's not easy to have that. Last thing people want to do is talk to somebody imaginary or something. You know, I
exactly.
know that he knows that this is not easy.
Exactly.
And that's why the reward is so big. That's why everybody wants to be a millionaire, but it's not easy to become a millionaire. The work that it takes to put in to be a millionaire, that's why you don't see too many. That's why it's like, okay, you know how hard it is. God's like, I know how hard it is, but you really love me. You're not going to come to me and just ask me for stuff. You really love me. You're going to come and you're going to have a relationship with me. And then you're going to get everything. You know, and then it'll come to you. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm going to show you. You even think that having this house right here is enough. I got a house double what you think you want. But you just asking me for that. I'm telling you, I got bigger and better, but you ain't even asking me for bigger and better. There's so many people praying for this, and God's like, I got this. But they see, that's from here. You got to see yourself more. You got to see yourself bigger. You got to see yourself in God's light. You got to see how God views you. And that's another thing. That love that it's a difference, man.
No, it really is. And I think that, like, it's just, man, it's just, there's so much to it. I just really right now I'm feeling like, if you're listening right now, you're like, all right, like, because it's to your point, like, God, it's like, it could sometimes feel like you're talking to, like, an imaginary person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, like, I see, like, a marriage. I see the millions. I see a career. I don't see this God that you're asking me to put above my family, mm-hmm. that you're asking me to put above my career, right? And I think that, like, it's important to highlight, like, yo, like, it doesn't, you don't start, just, that's what faith is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you don't see, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you don't, so just understand that it's not going to like make complete sense, but we're sitting here together mm-hmm. as people who've gone from faith to faith to faith, for like walked in it, kind mm-hmm. of like grown in it. And we're saying, yo, look, like as you push into it, you'll start to gain your trust in God more and more to the point where you can put him there.
Right.
Because I think, yeah, because it's like, it is a
heavy. I guess he'll start to show you. He'll start to reveal yourself to you if you actually go looking for it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are looking for God, but they're not even looking for God. They're calling for him, but they ain't looking for him. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like hide and seek. Where are you at? Where are you at? But if you ain't looking, you won't find it. You know what I'm saying? People are calling for God, but won't open the Bible when the answer is there, but won't actually go and like spend time with him and go to church and do things where you know you can see him.
Exactly. And I like that you said that, because I just remembered, like, you gave your 8-year example. I remember being a little kid, like, yo, like when you first find out God is real, it's like, dear God,
mm-hmm.
you know, please give me
mm-hmm.
my favorite snack in front of my face right now.
Right.
And then you open your eyes and it's like, dang, yeah, see, I knew this guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, to your point, you're looking at God as like a genie.
You can't fool God. He knows your heart. So while you sitting there, can I get this? Can I get that? Or God, I promise this is my last time I'm going to stop smoking. He already know. So when you stop fooling yourself, that's when you start fooling God. Once you start fooling yourself and fooling him, that's when you're going to see him the most. So people will be like, I feel like people are like, you know, I've been talking to God and I don't see him. I don't hear him. Or see, I told you it wasn't going to happen and all that. But it's just like, you was already playing from the jump. You was already setting yourself up to lose because he already knew you wasn't serious, or he knew what your motives was. All right, please, if you help me start smoking, I promise I won't. Nah, you just didn't want to go to jail. So you prayed, you stopped smoking, and then you write back tomorrow. He already knew that. But had you really knew your heart was serious and sincere and you would stop or whatever, you'd probably start to see whatever result, whatever you was looking for, you would have seen it fast. You can't fool God. And if you know for a fact, like you're trying to do it your way and you're just implying him, putting him in, yeah, you'll see a little bit because you are bringing them in it, but the results you really looking for, you won't get. And I think that's what people like. I do believe in God because they've seen him here and there. You know what I'm saying? When I say see him, like, obviously, you know, he's revealed himself. But I feel like they're like, but I'm still, because you playing. He know you playing. He is literally stories in the Bible, people playing. And God was like, look, go right over there. But look, just have a good attitude. Man, it took them double the amount of time because they complained. All because he knew they was playing. That's it's stories in the Bible. That's like, look, if y'all really read the Bible, stuff that we going through happened already in just a different way, in different generations. Stuff our parents did, we're doing now in a whole just a different look. But it's the same thing. Our parents are doing it that way, and now it's 20, 30, 40 years later, we're doing it this way. What happened in the Bible is happening now. We have the examples. So, you know what I'm saying?
No, 100%. It's like, and by reading the Bible, you learn about how God works.
How
and
he works.
So then you're not as ignorant, right? So that you're not being like, hey, God, give me $1 million, opening your eyes and don't see it, because you understand, oh, that's not how God works. This is how he works. And you find out how he works through reading the word, learning about him, reading the word.
For example, there's probably people that's like, I smoke, I drink, I do this or that. God, Jesus, I'm going to go Jesus way because God is such a, people that are Buddha. I'm not talking about Buddha God. I'm talking about Jesus, okay? Mm-hmm. Jesus, this, and that. Well, he'll never answer my prayers because I'm out here doing this. Hey, do y'all not know Jesus was running with prostitutes and sitting there with thieves, you know what I'm saying? Walking into rooms, washing feet of people that lie, steal, kill, all the above. You know that Jesus took people that was literally killing people and making them into a better life. Like, he likes people that aren't, people that feel like I don't got it all together. Like, that's what he's looking for. And you sitting there like, well, I can't go to him because he would never. He's perfect. I'm like, man, I know you a mess. Come on with it. I ran. But if you read the Bible, you would know his character. Like, he ran with people like me. He ran with people like you. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Well, we not perfect. We not better than nobody else. Exactly. But, like, he kicked it with people like us.
That's why he's here. That's why he died.
Because he knew, like, yeah, that's what he did for us. You know what I'm saying? He ran with us. But people have this, it's God, he's perfect. So why would he want to be, why would he have a relationship with me? He know I'm out here doing this, and he know I'm out here doing that. He been running with them folks. You know what I'm saying? He been running with folks like us. 100%. So if you somebody that's felt like, hey, I'm too messed up for God to even, me for even talk to him, or he, or... Nah, actually, you're the perfect person. Because all throughout the Bible is examples of people that were like the most out of whack, craziest people, and they have the best success stories. Exactly. So I like when I'm a mess, because I know I'm in the perfect canvas for him to paint on.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. Well, hey, I feel like family, you're doing such a great job of
appreciate
at it. And yeah, I feel like, to be honest, I learn something every podcast, and I think the biggest thing I'm taking away right now is just knowing, man, like, you can't let God, you can't let anything replace that first place spot outside of God. You got to keep God there.
Got to keep him near.
You know what I mean? And it's just that simple.
Yep, because once he don't, you're going to see everything get out of whack. But yeah, that's it.
Say less.